Good morning. And welcome to worship this morning, and we welcome all in Jesus' precious name. Some intimations. Cup of coffee and a chat after the service, just in the small hall through the room there. A good time after the service, just to share together and share a bit of time in fellowship. Kirk session meet at 7 o'clock in the small hall on the 16th of January. That's this Wednesday coming, for just the ordinary business. And the guild meet at 1:30 in the church hall on Tuesday, as part of the annual gathering, looking at the Singing of the Gathering DVD and hearing about the new projects that are coming. That's one more I've got. The week of prayer for Christian unity starts on Sunday, so at 3 o'clock St John's service next Sunday afternoon, St John's Church next Sunday afternoon is the Christian unity service, and then I think, I haven't had it confirmed, but I think then St John's have 9 o'clock services right through the week, but I'll be able to confirm that next week. The other one is, that as part of the responses to the deliverances from the General Assembly last May, which talked about radical looking again at the church throughout the strategy that had been put forward, Presbytery meet on the 9th, Saturday 9th of February in conference at West Kilbride Church between 10 and 2. Now, the idea is to look at the responses from the congregations in the presbytery to see how all the congregations are looking at what possible way forward would be. That then has been turned to an invitation for at least three from every congregation to be at that conference. It's a chance just to see what's going on, to get a feel for what's going on, and to get a feel for what the other congregations are thinking about. And I know somebody from Ministries Council from the Presbytery Planning Task Group will be speaking as well. It includes lunch, 10 to 2, at least three people. Please give that prayerful thought. It doesn't have to be just three people. It's at least three people. So I'll leave that with you. All heaven declares the glory of the risen Lord. Who can compare with the beauty of the Lord? Let's stand as the word is brought in. powerful Holy Spirit, come down upon us and subdue us. From heaven, where the ordinary is made glorious and glory seems but ordinary, bathe us with the brilliance of your light like dew. Amen. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Let's join our hearts and our minds together in prayer. Let's pray. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Father, as we come to you this morning, we come to praise you and to bless you. We come onto holy ground to be able to stand in your presence. We come to see you, to know you as holy. Nothing can hide from you. There is no one like you. And Father, all your works praise your holy name. All that we see around us, all we see that you do, just praises you, gives you the glory, gives you the majesty. And as Father, as we worship you this morning and praise you, and just take that time to sit before you, to glorify you. Father, we come as we are. We come with our hands full of the stuff of the week. We come come with the heaviness of burdens and the lightness of good news. We come, Lord, also holding the things that detract from our view and our response to you, because we're so busy holding on to what we think sometimes are our golden crowns. These things that we spend time focusing on instead of focusing on you. So Lord, as we pray, we ask it, you would, by your Spirit, enable us to lay down these things, our sins, our idols, the sinful that blinds us and binds us. So as we come to worship you this morning, Father, we confess these things, we lay them down at your feet. And Lord, as we lay them down, help us to put that sign up that reminds us we're not to pick them up again. Lord, our own arrogance, our own self-importance leads us to believe that these things we've tried to lay down at your feet are the things that we can deal with and we'll just take them away again. But enable us to leave them alone, to leave them with you, for you to deal with. Jesus tells us to take his yoke, for it's much lighter. Enable us, Lord, to do that, to cast away our things and to pick up what it is that Jesus wants us to have. And Lord, as we pray, we give you thanks for forgiveness, that forgiveness that was bought through Jesus Christ's life and death and resurrection and his ascension, that victory over death, and that forgiveness that releases us. Enable us to, by your Spirit, to know fully what that feels like, to be freed through forgiveness bought, though we don't deserve it. And Lord, as we look to the week to come, may we rejoice as your chosen, elected people, freed from sin. May we turn to you and follow you. Hear us as we pray together, using the words that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. We turn to Scripture this morning, and it's read for us by Alan from Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 16.
Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 16. Moses and the burning bush. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face, because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way of the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to the Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. Go, assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt.
Amen. And may God add his blessing to this reading of his word, and to be him all glory, honour, and praise. Amen. Take your sandals off, for you're standing on holy ground. We begin to process who God is, the God who is, for this week. Remember last week we looked at him in creation, the Creator, the God who is the beginning, who is in the beginning, and the God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And a lot of these we come back to again. This week, help if I put it the right way up. This week, to start thinking about the God who is holy, and what that means for us in our relationship with him, and what it means for him as being our God. So the God who is holy, and we look later on about God being, that God is holy, and what our response and our calling within that is. But for now, we praise him. And we worship him, we worship his majesty. Majesty, worship his majesty, and to Jesus be glory, honour, and praise. Let's stand to worship. and we continue with our offering. As we begin to bring our prayers together, the prayer points are Russ and Presbytery. Pray for the congregation at Lars Clark Memorial, Reverend David Watson. From Crossreach, Cale House in Inverness. Cale House provides support and accommodation for 22 people who are experiencing homelessness in an alcohol and substance-free environment. For Pathra Newell, I've listed a few today. They're all from Hamilton Presbytery. Bells Hill West, the Reverend Calm Stark. Wishaw St Mark's, the Reverend Graham Austin. Hamilton St John's, Reverend Joe Hood. And Uddingston Old, the Reverend Fiona McKibben. And the mentors are Stuart Sharp and Sandra Boyd. There's January conferences for Pathra Newell, so all the ministers are meeting together over the next 2 weeks. So just to keep that in your prayer as well, it's a chance that we get together and talk through some of the issues of Pathra and you'll find out where other congregations are and what's going on. So it's a useful time, but just to bear that in mind and keep that in your prayers. Let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for you enable us and allow us to come together, and that you call us to be people of prayer. And Lord, as we bow before you this morning, we bring together these thoughts, these prayer points for Ardrossan Presbytery, for Hamilton Presbytery, Pathra Newell, for Crossreach. And Lord, just ask your Spirit would be present around all these people that are involved. Father, we present to you these our offerings, a token of all that you've given us, and we give that back to you. But as we do that, we present ourselves to you once again. We present ourselves as your people. We present ourselves and ask, Lord, that you would use us in the building up of your kingdom. That as we go around our daily lives, that there's people that you would have us meet, people you would have us share with, that we could actually share your love, your grace, your mercy, your ways, your Spirit, your story. Father, we pray for the world. We pray for this world, a broken world, a difficult world, a world that seems really chaotic at times. A world where politics seems to have politics has just gone to a different place. Lord, can we see the times when people elected will care about the people? We pray for our own politicians as they continue the debate around Brexit. We pray, Lord, that it would be an open and an honest debate. But what we seem to see is division, is opposition, is people bad-mouthing each other. And so we pray for this, our country. We pray too for this area. And we pray for the churches here in Stevenson. We would pray, Lord, that your will would be known, your people would be healed. We pray for your church of Scotland, for the things that we have to grapple with in the church, for your way into the future, for what it looks for like for presbyteries, for congregations, what it looks like for the national church. Lord, that as we struggle with all these things, we would just see you and follow you. Father, we pray for all those here today, those who are on our left, those who are on our right, those who are seated above us and below us, those who are in front of us, those who are behind us, those who are in a different part of the building. We pray, Lord, that your Spirit would touch each one at the point of need. We pray too for those who can't be here this morning. And we pray for our families and our friends. And we pray for those your Spirit has called us to pray for specifically. So hear us in the silence. Lord of all the living, remember all whom we remember and forget none whom we forget, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come, people of the risen King who delight to bring him praise, come all and tune your hearts to sing to the morning star of grace. We rise to sing our hymn for the month.
Morning star of grace from the shift. struggling in the fight. For his perfect love will never change, and his mercies never cease. But follow us through all our days with a certain hope of peace.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we turn to you, asking now for the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus by your Spirit to rest upon every mind in this place, in order that their perception of what I say will be heard, received, applied as you intend. Cleanse my tongue, that I will be a transparent instrument to say everything that needs to be said, nothing that doesn't need to be said. I pray that it will be very, very clear, that this will bring great honour and glory to your name. I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As we begin to look at who God is, we said earlier we looked at God who is Father, Son and Holy Spirit. We'll look into that much deeper. In Exodus here, God, when he's speaking to Moses, says, I am who I am. Tell them I am sent you. And I am is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As we explore just a little bit last week, and we will later on particularly, as we begin to look at God as Son, we follow the I am sayings from John's Gospel. So we see that the God who is in the beginning, and the God who is there, and I think I've flashed through another one again at some point, but God who is in the beginning and is in the beginning, and the God who is there, we begin to build up this picture of God all around us. Well, there we go, I've just put them in the wrong order. But God who is creator, and that's how it all starts, as our creator. This is how the whole story, God's story, starts with creation. And so it's important that we look through and see who God is to each one. And we get now to today, where we begin to look at God who is holy. our God, the God who is holy, and what that means. And in many ways, for me, what's been invoked this week is a thought of that thought of where the angel of the Lord says to Moses out that burning bush, and he says, take off your sandals, for you're standing on holy ground. And I was thinking through what that means, to stand on holy ground. And one of the things that came to me, a memory that came to me of a time, of the time where, of my conversion, the time of being saved by God at way back in 1993, and at scout camp, or a cub camp, I should say. And after that moment, after that conversion moment, after God spoke so clearly to me, at a time where I wouldn't have been able to say that there was God, I might have said that, in fact, I did say that I believed that something created the world, because I couldn't believe it could happen by itself. So there had to be something. But that would be the limit of my time. After that moment, and after the cubs were taken off to go and do other things, I went to find a space to sit, and a space to be, and a space to ponder. And that was the campfire at Douglaswood. We were at Douglaswood Scout Centre just outside Dundee, and the campfire area is a big clearing in a huge area of trees, very tall trees. At that time of day, Sunday, around 12 o'clock, I was there. Just around noon, I was at that space, and the sun was high up, and it was lighting up the campfire area. And I sat there and pondered. I sat there and tried to work out what was going on. You know, I'd never had the words at the time, but as we go through life and we share that relationship with God and we come to know Him, I'd say it becomes a bit clearer. There I was, standing on holy ground. Standing on holy ground. And taking that time to say, Lord, I know nothing apart from You are. And I don't know what to do next. I know I have to respond. I have to respond not because I'm scared out of anything, I'm scared to do something. I have to respond because actually I have been compelled to respond. I've felt something so great within me. There is no way I could have left that alone. Absolutely no way. But there I was in my holy place with God, and standing on holy ground. And this is where we start to look at God first, for He is holy. He tells us He's holy. Scripture, when you read through, you see many times when He speaks, particularly of being sanctified, of His holiness, calling us to be holy. But we find out that He is holy. He's telling Moses that at the burning bush. He's telling Moses that at the burning bush. Take off your sandals, for you're standing on holy ground. Wherever God is holy ground. He tells us that in the Ten Commandments. The first four of the Ten Commandments are really about our relationship with God. And so He tells us that. First of all, He says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. but showing love to a thousand generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will hold you, will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. And remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. So these commandments are really about the relationship with him, but actually he's emphasizing, first of all, he's saying, I am the Lord your God. I am who I am. And then he's saying, no other gods, no idols. Worship me, do not profane my name, do not misuse my name. Keep the Sabbath. That whole idea is about how he is and how we are to approach him. And when Jesus taught the prayer, disciples said to Jesus, teach us how to pray. And he said, pray like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Revered be your name. Holy be your name. And then, so we get this idea of that holiness and what that looks like. It's God set apart. And in the beginning of creation, it was God who was there with the Word, and it was the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. But God is set apart. And we see here in that physical set apart, he's in the burning bush. We know he speaks to Moses on Mount Sinai. And you know, we're called to come to him with a sense of awe and wonder, a sense of reverence. And actually, there's a mystery as well we need to acknowledge. There's a mystery about who God is and how God is. And just to get an idea of that, when we go back to that creation story, remember I've said that there's a point there where God comes to walk with man and woman, Ish and Isha, in the garden in the cool of the evening. And after they're tempted by the fruit, after they fall out of relationship with him, after they actually sin, is the way we need to put it, after they sin because they want to be like God, that relationship's gone. And there's not that sense now of God walking with his creation in the cool of the evening because they've been banished. Ish and Isha, man, Hebrew for man and woman, are now Adam and Eve. They only get their names after they're out of the garden. Before that, they're Ish and Isha. Take off your shoes. That sense of awe and wonder and reverence and mystery. And sometimes I think that actually we've lost sight of that in many ways as we look at our modern Christian faith and much of what we've done with that and how we've tried to speak about our faith. And I think we've done away with a lot of that kind of sense of awe and wonder and reverence. And God has become a chum, a pal, the good friend who's next door, or maybe more appropriately upstairs, up there somewhere. We've domesticated God, we've tamed him, we've reduced him to this good friend who's always there, not only to deal with our needs but our wants as well. And somehow we've lost that sense of awe and mystery and reverence and wonder. And as we lose that, do we lose sight of the holiness of God? Does he become that favourite family member that we visit weekly? Or does he become the family member we visit weekly because we have to? You know, we should be coming to him to rejoice to rejoice, to be, we're going to worship God with His family. We're going to come and we're going to stand on holy ground. But somehow we've managed to bring God out of that holiness. Somehow we kind of got to the point where He's now taken from that place of reverence, of awe, of wonder, of mystery, and we place Him, our Creator, in a box. And He becomes a still, small voice inside. Just something that's inside of us. Something that just works away at us as a wee voice at the back of our heads. Somebody a few years ago said to me, that's who they thought God was, just someone inside. And that's so sad, because God is not just someone inside. We've lost the holiness and the reverence of our Creator if that's what we think. We just as well putting on Disney's Pinocchio and start singing, "Let Your Conscience Be Your Guide," and have Jiminy Cricket coming about, if that's what we reduce God to, just that still small voice. For He's much bigger than that. He is infinite. We cannot measure Him. And so sometimes it's easier for us to bring Him down to something small so we can imagine it. But actually, God is not that. I am who I am. That is my name. I am your God who brought you out of slavery, brought you out of Egypt. I am. And you will not have any other gods before me. It's what He says. That other thing about taking off your sandals as you come onto to holy ground, actually there's a practical thing about that. Our shoes would be dusty and dirty. Our sandals would be dusty and dirty. And removing them and leaving them behind as we enter the presence of God in that holy place means that the place and the presence of God would not be defiled. So there's a kind of practical element of that as well. Brought to my attention, we were watching one of these, in fact it was Grand Designs, and Kevin MacLeod, that's his name, went into the house. It was a lovely wee box house that was in London, maybe you saw it this week, but he took off his shoes, because the owners, the builders, took off their shoes, the couple who built the house took off their shoes, he took off his shoes, and that element of walking through the house without the street shoes on, so the place would not be dirtied or defiled. And there's a sense of coming before God, actually, and taking off that which is dirty, that which would defile Him, and leaving that behind to come before Him. Leviticus 11, verse 44 says, "I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy." So here's part of this response that God's looking for us, or from us. And as we work through that, there's a bit for me where somebody might say this is a condition. "You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy." So it's a conditional thing. You'll be holy because I'm holy, so you have to be holy. It's a condition. It's part of the contract. But if we're speaking more of a covenant, I see this more as a result of what happens, a consequence. That as we get to know our God, and we get to know Him as holy, and we get to understand more about the awe, wonder, and reverence that we hold Him in, we become holy. We become holy. It's part of the transformation. And I believe this is where God then brings himself to be with us. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And actually, the translation of making the dwelling is actually something more about putting up the tabernacle, tabernacling, tenting, pitching the tent among his people. So Jesus, the Word made flesh, as God comes amongst the people. And that transformation that we see in ourselves is brought about by God, by Jesus. We could just as easily say, "You shall be perfect, for I am perfect. You shall be holy, for I am holy. You shall be perfect, for I am perfect. You shall be sanctified, for I am sanctified. You shall be justified, for I am justified." But the problem with that is we can't be perfect, for we're human, and we can't be perfect. But God brings us the solution. It's Jesus Christ. He brings us the solution, the Word made flesh. And in Jesus' life, death, his resurrection, his ascension, and his return, we can be transformed to be holy, to be perfect. We can be purified and renewed through his Spirit. And that transformation comes. You know, when we look at these commandments again, and, you know, "You shall not misuse my name." Well, the world has. We have. We misuse his name. Nations profane him. "You shall have no other idols." "Shall not make idols." Well, the world has. There's so many things that we worship. "You shall have no God before me." Well, the world does, because we create them. And as we look, even within our church family, we can see times when we hold fast to ritual, to tradition, and even to buildings. And this is one of the challenges for the future. How do we move forward in God's holiness and actually realizing what it is he's calling us to do without being held back by the things that have blinded us to him? At the end of the day, what we see in Exodus is God appearing, Exodus 3, 1 to 16, God appearing in the burning bush. God appears to Moses in the ordinary. That burning bush, that bush was an ordinary bush in the desert. It was a bush that would be drying out. It would be a bush that would be could be ignited, that would burn, that would burn through. The bush on fire was not out of the ordinary. It was a very ordinary thing for Moses to see. The extraordinary thing about it was that it was not consumed. It was not being consumed. So therefore, this was different. This is what got Moses' attention, really. And he went across to it, and there God presented himself to Moses. But, you know, if we spend too much time looking at that burning bush, then we won't see and we won't focus on what we're being taught through the burning bush. When God wants to reveal himself, any bush will do. He'll use the ordinary, but he makes it extraordinary, and then we stand on holy ground, and it's our approach on him, our approach to him then. Our starting point, and our only point, really, is that God is holy, and he calls us to be holy. But we can't be holy in our own steam. We have to be holy in him. And he's made that possible through Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us, and we praise you. Just as we present ourselves once again, would your Spirit lead us? Would we know that sense of awe and wonder, of reverence and mystery? In Jesus' name, amen. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, proclaiming peace, announcing news of happiness. Let's stand to worship. Heavenly Father, as we gather and leave this place, may you reign in our lives. May you just lead us by your Spirit to connect with the people you'd have us connect with, to share your word, to share your love, your mercy, your grace. And now the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one now and until Jesus comes again, and then forevermore. Thank you. peace to you. We bless you now in the name of the Lord. Peace to you.